Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Messiah, you are our King. You are our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you have a wonderful plan for each one of our lives. You have a time allotted for us, Lord, to be here worshiping and praising you. Father, we just ask for your instruction, your direction. Tell us, Lord, what you want us to hear, and may we hear you loud and clear. Father God, pave a way, Lord, through your word, that we would see clearly a path for each one of us individually and where we are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Give me a little more on the microphone. It's a little, yeah. So I don't have to yell. I don't want to yell. Y'all want me to yell? You don't want me to yell. I don't want to yell. All right. Hey, I've got a couple announcements. First of all, we have a Bible bus. We have a church van. If you know of someone who needs a ride to get to church, we have a way of picking them up. We have a limited number of seats. But if you know someone or you need a ride, please contact the church office, and we will do all we can to get you hooked up with the Bible bus. That's what we're calling it for now until we come up with an official. What's that? Fuel for God. Fuel for God, Bible bus. We're trying to think of a name for this new ministry. So there you go. Also, know this. This Sunday, because I think you've seen the sign out there that about the rapture. Are you rapture ready? And I've had quite a few people asking me questions about the rapture, about certain Bible verses. What do they mean? And so I'm going to do a message on the rapture this Sunday, just so that we have a clear understanding. And then in about 8 weeks, we are going to begin the book of Revelation. So we also, what we want to do, so be praying, because we'd like to run some radio spots. Listen, with all that's going on in the world right now, people need to know that we are in the last days. And people, a lot of people are curious about the book of Revelation and how it plays out with everything that's going on in the world right now. So if we can get some radio spots going, I think we will see a great work of God here in the valley. So be praying that God would provide all the finances that we need to do some radio spots. And we're going to do some advertising. We're going to ask you all to participate in getting the word out for the book of Revelation. But of course, I got to finish the book of Acts first. Also, if you are in BCF, BCF is back in the saddle this Sunday. We're still in chapter 5, so you had 2 weeks to do chapter 5. And this week, we're going to have a pizza lunch, so be ready for that. There you go. Yeah. Hey, listen, with a broken, devastated heart, I come to you with this, that Angela, I don't know if you knew Angela Olgenicsak. Yeah, I can't say her name. It's really difficult. But she was the sweetest, sweetest gal. She worked our Apples of Gold. Well, if you saw in the paper, her husband murdered her. And it's just heartbreaking, unbelievable, hard to grasp. Anyone would feel that kind of anger towards her. She was just always, every time I saw her, she had a smile. Didn't matter what was going on, she was giving glory to God. So we know where she is. She's with the Lord. But what a horrific, horrific thing. So just be praying for the family. And that's what we're going to do right now before we go into the word of God. Father, I just pray, Lord, thank you that we have this peace knowing where Angela is. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that she was always so joyful, always so positive in knowing who you are and where you were in her life. And so, Father, I just ask right now that you would be with us, Lord. Be with her family. Bring comfort, Lord. We don't always understand the atrocities that this world dishes out, but we know this, you are greater than all that is in the world. So, Father, comfort her family. May justice be served. And, Lord, thank you that you lent her to us, and she was such a joy. And Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we are going to go through verse 19 through 26, and then we are going to spill over into chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. And I've broken our verses into two groups. Gehazi's greed in verse 19 through 27, and then the grateful grunt work in verse 1 through 7 of chapter 6. Now, let's get up to speed. Here's what we had. Naaman, powerful man, military man, a powerful warrior, rich, affluential, a man of honor, had leprosy. And he also had a slave girl that had been taken captive, and now she was made a servant in his home. But instead of this Jewish girl being embittered that she was held captive, perhaps she saw her family murdered. We don't know the whole backstory. We just know that here's this Jewish girl in a pagan realm, and she's a slave servant to Nahum. But instead of being bitter, she has a concern for him. And so she says, hey, you know what? There is a man, a prophet of God in northern Israel, speaking of Elisha, and he could cure you because he serves the living true God. And so he received that advice. And so he puts together a group, a crew, to go and grab Elisha. But he does the wrong thing. He goes to a Jewish king instead. He goes to the Jewish king, and the king goes, no, this is a trap. This can't be legit. By the way, he brings millions of dollars. Millions of dollars, and he brings 10 very expensive changes of clothing. So probably something pretty extravagant. Now, the king, the Jewish king, thinks this is a trap, and he rips his clothes. He says, listen, I can't cure you. Nobody can cure you of leprosy. It cannot be done. And so Elisha gets word of this. The king thinks it's a trap. He thinks it's going to be a war. Elijah, he says, hey, tell Nahum to come here. He's going to the wrong guy. He obviously didn't listen to the servant girl because she didn't say go to the king of northern Israel. She said go to the prophet. Well, thank God that God intervened and told Elisha about this. So Nahum comes to Elisha, comes to his house. He knocks on the door. Elijah doesn't even get up. He doesn't even go to the door. He sends his servant, and he tells Nahum, go jump in a river, man. Jump in there 7 times, but not any river, jump in the Jordan. Now, have you ever been to the Jordan? It's not a very big river. It's not very impressive. The only thing that's impressive about it is who's been there. All the great men of God who have been at the Jordan. But he says, hey, we got way better rivers. We got better, more pristine, more beautiful. You want me to jump into a muddy old swamp, basically? So he gets angry. But thankfully, he has a servant who tells him, hey, if he had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. I think he was offended in multiple ways. One, that he brought millions of dollars and extravagant gifts, and Elisha didn't even get up off of his easy chair. He sends a servant. I just go do this. He's not impressed by the money. He's not impressed by the clothing. But the servant says, hey, if he would have, because Nahum was expecting him to do, all kinds of incantation. Remember when Elijah had dealt with the prophets of Baal, they cut themselves, they jumped up and down, they screamed, they did all this kind of crazy stuff. So he was expecting that. But Nahum succumbs, he obeys, he does what Elijah tells him, he goes to the Jordan, he dips in 7 times, and he gets healed. And so Nahum, the big strong warrior, now has baby skin, soft, supple skin. Now he offers to Elijah the millions of dollars in the clothing, and I love Elijah's response in verse 16. He said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So he refused to take the reward. He refused to take the money. And so we're going to see that the axe is going to be dropped. They're going to be dropping the axe, and you're going to see where. So let's look at Gehazi's greed in verse 19 through 27, now that we're up to speed. Then he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. So Nahum has gone, but he hasn't gone very far. Maybe a couple of miles. He hasn't gone very far. But Gehazi. So he didn't get far away, and we have this, but Gehazi. It's not good when you hear a but Gehazi. It's good when you hear but God. Why? Because it's like, man does this, but God has a plan. God has a healing. God does that. But when God has a plan and there's peace and it says but so-and-so, that's not a good but. That's a bad but. And so Gehazi has a bad but. Sorry, you did that. I didn't. Verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said. Now, in contrast, notice it says Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God. Gehazi is a servant of Elijah. It's almost like a contrast. Here's Gehazi, and then here's Elijah, the servant, the man of God. What a contrast. We have the man of God and we have the man of greed here. You'll see. Now, obviously, this next part that we're going to read, he said to himself. At least he thought he said it to himself. Watch. He says, "Look, my master has spared Nahum the Syrian while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." Now, he's saying this in his heart. He sees the millions. He sees the Gucci and Armani suits. And he's like, "I want some of that." Listen, we healed him from leprosy. He was planning on giving it anyway. I want some of that. But he thinks he's saying this to himself. He thinks it's being said in secret. Listen, there is nothing that you and I do or say or think that is in secret. God sees and knows it all. See, Gehazi couldn't stand to watch millions. Folks, it was maybe $4 million worth of gold and silver. He couldn't stand to watch $4 million or more walk away and not have a piece of it. It's too easy. It is too easy. But in his heart, he's sinning. Why? Because, listen, he's supposed to be following Elijah. Elijah is listening to God. God has told Elijah and put on Elijah's heart, "Don't take anything for this." Listen, nothing that we do for God, if it turns out good, is it of ourselves. It's God's power. So we really don't deserve anything. And people are like, "Oh, Pastor Randy, thank you for praying." It's like, it's not me. It's him. I just got to be a part of it. And listen, it's cool because God does want us to be a part of what he's doing. He does. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. But here, he thinks, Gehazi thinks what he's going to do, he's going to be able to do it in secret, without anybody knowing. Numbers 32:23 is a verse that you should write on your heart. Just think of 32 and then reverse 32:23, and it's Numbers. So here's what it says. "You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Yikers. Listen, it doesn't matter. You may think you're getting away with something. God will reveal it. Why? Because he loves you too much to leave you in that situation. But notice here it says, Gehazi says, I will run after him and take something from him. Gehazi became exactly what Elisha avoided. Gehazi becomes a taker. Elisha is not a taker. Elisha is a giver. In fact, listen, in Christendom, we are to be givers, not takers. Right? Doesn't the Bible say it's better to give than to receive? Yet so often you see so many take, give to me and take, I'll take. That's not good. We should outgive what we receive. We should be givers, not takers. But here Gehazi says, I will run after him and take something from him. Not good. Not good. You and I, folks, should not be looking to see what we can get from other people. We should be looking to see how we can bless other people. And if you and I can do that, God will take care of the rest. You know, that's what it means by seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be given to you. Now listen, we also don't need to be manipulators. What do I mean by that? We can't go, you know what, ooh, I'm going to give to God so then he'll just bless me. Well, God can see through that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Do not give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I read from the New Living Translation. I like the wording. Listen, God loves when you give cheerfully, not because you feel pressure or because, oh, you know, I got to go and serve, or I got to go help that person move, or I got to go do this. Or if you got to go, if you feel like you got to go, don't go. Or go ahead and go, but don't think you're going to be rewarded for that. That's not how God works. See, God loves when we go, you know, ooh, I get to bless this person. I get to serve this person. I get to help this person. I get to give cheerfully. Listen, God will drop the axe on that kind of an attitude. If you have an attitude where it's like you begrudgingly, God doesn't want any part in that. That's a severing of our relationship with him. Now, that's not meaning you lose your salvation, but that intimacy and that blessing. The only thing that gets severed is our blessing. So listen, if you're going to do something for the Lord, do it joyfully and cheerfully. Otherwise, don't. Drop an axe on that, on the attitude. Listen, I find it a joy to serve you guys. I find it a joy to do what I do. And I have since the day I got saved. It's a joy to be in God's house and do anything. Scrub toilets, picking up trash in the parking lot. I've done it all. I love it all. I'll do it all as much as I can. But if you have a bad attitude regarding serving God, you better drop an axe on that bad boy. Verse 21. So Gehazi pursued Nahum. When Nahum saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all as well? In other words, is everything okay, dude? I just left you. I didn't even get that far away. Notice it says Gehazi pursued Naaman. Actually, Gehazi pursued money. That's what he's pursuing. It just happens to be in Naaman's possession. Listen, one person put it this way. To be rich in God is better to be rich in goods. Because goods, they all rust, they all break down. You get a brand new car and it's only good for a little while and then it breaks down. You get a brand new house, before long you got to replace the air conditioner, the water cooler. You get pipes broken underground. It's like, listen, nothing lasts. Nothing in this world lasts. Even our bodies break down. Everything breaks down. Here we have Gehazi. What is he doing? He's serving a powerful man of God. He's getting to see miracles. Listen, Elijah is probably the greatest prophet in all of the scripture. He does more miracles than anybody, at least recorded, other than Jesus, of course. But he does more. Gehazi's able to kick it with this guy. How'd you like to cruise around with the dude that has the power to do incredible miracles? and who loves the Lord and who's humble and who knows the word. I mean, my gosh, that is like the perfect situation. But Gehazi loves money. He loves money. This is going to be his swan song. You're familiar with this. Here's his verse that is his swan song. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith, pierced themselves with many sorrows. Wow. See, oftentimes I see this over and over again. Someone's walking with God. God is blessing them. And all of a sudden, ching, an opportunity to make money comes into their possession, into their view. And all of a sudden, their walk with God takes a back seat. And then before long, their life starts to crumble. And they're like, why? Why is this happening? I don't know. Were you following God or were you following money? Here, we're going to see the perfect example of what Gehazi has done is he dropped the axe on his faith. He dropped the axe on his faithfulness to follow God. He severed that in order to go chase after money. Verse 22. So Nahum said, hey, is everything all right, man? I just left you. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, all is well. My master has sent me. Oh, did Elijah send him? Let's try that again. Did Elijah send him? Okay, so what is he doing there? Lying. Oh, but come on, man, it's just a little lie. Listen, all lies are from who? The devil. So this is the first sign that he has dropped the axe on his walk with God. My master has sent me saying, indeed, just now, two men, sons of the prophet, have come. What? In other words, I know you just left, but two dudes, two young guys, some college students, they're learning the Bible. They need help with their intuition. Two guys have come. And hey, you know, my master sent me here. So just now, two men of the sons of the prophet have come to me from the mountain of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Wow. Lies. All lies. There were no two young men. Elijah did not send him. He wants the talents of silver and he wants the garments for himself. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 through 19 says this. He who speaks the truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Verse 19. The truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. See, Gehazi is a liar, and it's going to seem for the moment that everything is copacetic. This is good. It's going to work out. It looks great. Ching. Watch. 23. So Nahum said, please take two talents. He asked for one. Nahum gives him two. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and handed them to two of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. So listen, why did he bring, he also gave him two servants to help him carry the money to make sure he makes it safe. Not only that, two talents. You go, well, you know, how much is that? One talent is about 120 pounds of silver. Two talents, 240 pounds of silver. If, listen, in the vernacular, if you added that up, about $70,000. Plus a Gucci and an Armani suit. He's styling, big pimping. Listen, Gehazi probably thought, look at the blessing of God. You know, I asked for one, he gave me two, and someone to carry it for me. Man, lion's pretty good. I got away with it. Look at the contrast. Naaman, the leper, the pagan, now knows that there is one God in all the earth. There is no God in all the earth except for the God of Israel. He declares that. Gehazi, the servant of God, is telling lies. You have a pagan proclaiming truth. You have a servant of God telling lies. What's wrong with this picture? A lot, I would say. A whole lot. Oh, but brother and sisters, let me tell you, we need to not be liars. Why? Because if you do, you may get away with it, but God will drop an axe because he loves you that much. Watch. Verse 24. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hands and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Oh, he got it home safe and sound, and he hid it in his house. No one will know it's there. It's safe. Isn't that nice? He's trying to hide his sin. God will expose sin every single time. What his problem is that he's greedy. Listen, there's a lot of greed in Christendom, and it should not be there. I like what one person said. Some Christians suffer from cirrhosis of the giver. That's good. This would be one of those guys, because he's all about taking. He said, I'm going to go and take. And Elisha already said, we don't want, we don't need. God's got our back. So important. Verse 25. Dun, dun, dun. Now he went in and stood before his master. I'm going to read another verse that you're familiar with, but I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It's Matthew 6:24. It says this. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Here, when it says he stood before his master, that's what it should have been. No, he left his master hidden in a closet somewhere at home. 240 pounds of silver and two fancy suits. Those were his masters. He was willing to lie. And if he's lying, then he's stealing. And if he's stealing, that's all Satan. That's not of God. Elijah said to him, where'd you go, Gehazi? Hey, bro, you took off. Where'd you go? And he said, your servant didn't go anywhere. More lies. You know, isn't that what happens? If you tell a lie, guess what you're going to have to do to cover the lie? Lie. The hole goes deeper. The sin becomes compounded. That's why I like, listen, if I do something wrong, I'm just going to tell you, yep, I did it. Sorry, I really need your forgiveness. And then I'll do acts worthy of repentance. Why? Because if I lie to you, I'm compounding my sin, which means there's no repentance. And I know this, if I do not repent, God will bring the axe, shaboom, down. God doesn't want to. He doesn't want to bring an axe. God would love to bring a loving touch. More lies. Satan's the father of lies. It reminds me of a father and son. The father says, I want an explanation and I want the truth. And the son said, make up your mind, Dad. You can't have both. Sure you can. What he's really saying is, I don't want to give you both. Listen, if you can't give the truth and an explanation, you're in sin. You're in heinous sin. And don't think, because maybe you've gotten away with it. Maybe it's been a year. Maybe it's been maybe longer than a year. And you're like, you're not getting away with it. God loves you too much to let you get away with it. The best thing you could do is come out and say, I did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then turn away from it and stop. Then you will see the blessings of God. Listen, I can't lose my salvation. You can't lose your salvation. We cannot lose our salvation, but we can forfeit blessings. I don't know about you. I love blessings. Aren't blessings awesome? Doesn't God bless us incredibly? Well, when I lie, when you lie, when we sin and lie to cover it up, we're just forfeiting blessings. And then we go, well, where's my blessing? God goes, it's right here, but you keep lying. Boop, 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 boop. So I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here. What are you talking about? God went somewhere. Man, he had time to go tell a lie, get $70,000 in the suits and put them in his house and then come back. Yeah, I was here. I was behind that rock over there. Just got to lift it. I'm right under there. And he said to him, watch this. Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Oh, no. Listen, he should have known. He's been hanging out with Elijah. God speaks to Elijah. Elijah hears from God. They're buddies. And God said, hey, Elijah, come here. Let me show you something. And evidently, somehow, he saw the scene. Because he said, what did my heart? Dude, I love you, man. We serve together. Didn't my heart go with you? Wasn't I with you in spirit when that man turned around in his chariot? That wasn't me. I didn't go anywhere. I was under that rock, I promise. I mean, what do you say? He's caught red-handed. It's funny. It's not funny, but sometimes people, like a wife or a husband, will come to counsel with me, and I'm like, well, hey, why won't your husband or why won't your wife come in counsel? Oh, they feel like I've been talking to you because the message is kind of feels like you know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. People won't go, I don't want to look at him. He can see. I can't see. I can't see what you did. I don't know. I don't know, but it's funny. I used to feel the same way about my pastor. It's like, ooh, he's going to know the sin. He can see right through me. No, it doesn't work that way. Now, there have been times, though. Yeah, no, I'm just joking. You know what? Side note. Sometimes when someone falls in sin, here's what I'll hear. Well, they didn't go to a church where they really taught the word properly. That doesn't wash. Right here, that gets wiped out. Why? Because you have Gehazi with Elisha. Holy moly. The dude is in tight with God. The dude is humble. He turns away $4+ million and some fancy suits. He turns them away because he's more concerned with doing God's work than becoming a millionaire. Wow. Not only that, beyond that, Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years and then sold him out for 30 measly pieces of silver. A couple $100. The price of a slave. You're going to tell me that you can't find better teaching than the word incarnate. So that brings me peace. I can do all I can to teach the word as clearly and as right as possible, accurate as possible. I try to be accurate. When someone falls away or someone does something that's unbiblical, I just go, well, my hands are clean. That's what Paul was saying. I have not forsaken to give you the full counsel of God. So that's my goal. My goal is, no matter what, that people can't say, well, you might not like me, but nobody ever says, well, he doesn't teach the word right. Well, if you say that, come and talk to me and show me. well, I can't do that. Yeah, I didn't think so. Bing, bong, bing, bong. Not only, watch this. Not only did Elijah see the transaction, hey, my heart was with you when he turned his chariot around, but God also revealed to him Gehazi's very thoughts. He did? Yeah, watch. All the things that Gehazi intended to do with the money. Watch. He says, isn't it time to receive money? The 70,000 in gold. Receive clothing? You receive clothing. But look at this. Olive groves, vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants. He didn't get any of that yet. That's what he planned to do with the money. He was already thinking, man, I'm going to get me an olive grove and a vineyard. I'm going to get some sheep and oxen, some male and female servants. I'm going to be living high on this. Huh. Elijah just said, dude, you were going to spend it on. He's probably like, oh. Can you imagine? You know, you go and steal money and you're like, ooh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a house over off the river and I'm going to buy a Cadillac and, you know, I'm going to get me a nice stereo system and I'm going to get me a PlayStation 5 and all this stuff. And then prophet of God comes up, hey, you were going to get a house on the river and a Cadillac and a PlayStation 5. And I was like, how'd you know? Dude, your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. I also want you to, I hope you didn't miss this. Look what Elijah said right there. He says, is it time to receive money? What does that mean? That means this. There wasn't a law prohibiting him from receiving support. From receiving support from those he touched. There was no law against that. No. But he's saying, is it time? In other words, what it means is there is a time to receive, but there's also a time to say, no, I'll pass. The man of God or the woman of God needs to know the difference. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I probably shared it with you before, but Chuck Smith, they needed to build a new building. And he needed some astronomical amount for back in the 70s, 80s, it was like, you know, $1.5 million or something crazy like that. And so he made the announcement, hey, everyone be praying. We need a new building and this is what we're going to need. Be praying. One person came into his office and with the check and said, here, for the full amount. And his first thought was, praise the Lord. He went into prayer with the guy. And during prayer, God told him, don't take it. When they were done praying, and he's praising God. He says, you know what? While we were praying, God told me not to take it. And the guy's like, why? It's what you needed, right? He goes, the Lord told me that if I took all of this, it would prevent the whole church from being able to have the blessing of giving. And so the guy took the check back, dumbfounded. Well, within a couple of months, they had the full amount because everyone in the church gave. And what a blessing. But listen, how many people, how many pastors would turn down a large sum, like $1 million and some. Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We had a person way back, just before we bought this building, that said, hey, Pastor Randy, why don't we just buy the whole thing, all of it, for X amount of dollars? Just buy it all three buildings. And I was like, wow, you would do that? He goes, oh, yeah. What do you think he wants for it? I'm the one. And I was like, the Lord told me the exact same thing. One, we weren't ready for all three buildings. And number two, I think it would be better if we had giving along the way for God to provide. And so I told the guy, no. Why don't we just, if you want to help, you can help with one building. And he said, okay. That's how we bought this building. We could have had all three, but the Lord told me, no, not yet. Not this way. Not like this. Yes, sir, Lord. It was hard because I went home and said, did I make the right decision? We could have had all three buildings. But no, listen. Sometimes God will ask you to do the harder thing. Verse 27. This had to be hard for Elijah. Why? Because he loves. Therefore, the leprosy of Nahum shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous and white as snow. Listen, complete honesty in little things isn't a little thing. It's a big thing. Folks, we need to be honest. We need to be upright. Listen, what do you notice here? What do you notice here from Gehazi? No repentance. No repentance. He could have said, oh, forgive me. He could have been on his knees. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I lied. You're right. Please. There's no repentance. Why? He didn't want it. He could have said, here, take the 70,000. Take the suits. No, he'd rather hang on to the 70,000 and get his vineyards and his sheep and his servants, even if it meant having leprosy. Oh, wow. Listen, you want to know what amplifies Gehazi's wrongs? First, you have a humble servant girl who was ripped from her family, is serving under this Nahum, and she isn't bitter. Instead, because she's a believer in God, she cares about the man who is suffering. Wow. How about this? Also, we have Elijah's humility. He could have been a millionaire, a multimillionaire. And he would have been, no one would have said anything. Yeah, you healed a guy from lifelong leprosy. Of course he gave you millions of dollars. Yeah, live high on the hog now, man. Just think of the things you could do for the Lord with all that money. But he's like, no. Huh. I like one quote said this. We see here a pagan who by an act of faith was cured of leprosy, and an Israelite by an act of dishonor is cursed with it. Wow. And by the way, this is the last that we have recorded of Gehazi. The Bible has now dropped an axe on that man's life. Whew. Chapter 6. Now, we're only going to do 7 verses, because after these 7 verses, this chapter is so difficult to go through. It is very, it's pretty bad. It's one of those chapters that you kind of wish wasn't in the Bible. So we're gonna deal with these, and then next week we'll hold our breath, take a deep breath, and we'll dive in. I'm just telling you, it's graphic. It is intense. It's a roller coaster ride next week, and so we'll do these 7 verses here. Let's look at the grateful grunt work. And the servants of the prophet said to Elijah, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan. Let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell. I love this. Why? See, these were sons of the prophet. These were guys that Elijah, they were his Bible students. They had a Bible school here. Even though in the northern region, Baal worship, you know, because of Jezebel and Ahab, it was running rampant. I mean, the northern tribe of Israel is a mess. We have these faithful men, and probably women attached to it too, who are just faithful to God. And what did they say? Hey, our school is growing. There's not enough room. Wow. I love that. Listen, it's ungodly. You don't understand how bad it was. Baal worship, the sexual perversion, the murder of babies, it just sound like America. But even in all of that, there was growth by the power of God and by the power of 2 faithful prophets who refused to waver to the right or to the left. Listen, when a man or a woman puts their heart to faithfully do what God wants them to do, it will always bring growth. Always. Always. And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about in spirit. Because listen, you can have a rapidly growing church that's a work of Satan. But I'm talking about in spirit, in knowledge of God, in obedience. That's what's important. You know what else I love? I love the fact that they need a new building. But they don't need an architect. They don't need city permits. Why do I say that? Because we're dealing with this junk over here. It's not junk, but we're dealing with building. And man, just the expense to have an architect do drawings, you don't even want to know. It'll make you sick. But they don't have to do that. All they got to do is go down to the river, chop down some trees, and build. I wish it were that easy. Just drop the axe on some trees. So he answered, go. It's like, hey, we need more room. By all means, bring more students. Let's make the Bible school bigger. Yeah, what man of God or woman of God doesn't want the Bible school or a Bible class to grow bigger? So he answered, go. And one said, please consent to go with your servant. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. Now, I get this. Listen, wouldn't you want a powerful man of God who could do miracles and do all this incredible stuff and a seer? Yeah, you want him to be a part of the work. Why? I don't know. When you get around someone who's just full of God's spirit, there's a move, there's a work, there's something that special that happens. And they're like, we want you with us. Come along, buddy, teacher, master. So he went with them. When they came to the Jordan, that's that same little muddy swamp that other guy didn't want to dip into. Jordan is a very, very important little river. They cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, an iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And you say, why are you freaking out, bro? Just go down to the Home Depot and get another one. Well, not so fast. Listen, we know a couple of things. First of all, bronze axes were the common stay. That was your typical axe, was made of bronze. Here we have an iron axe. What does that tell us? It was very expensive. And notice he says, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And I love this. What a godly young man. This is a young man. He's strong enough. He's out there chopping down trees. He's a Bible student. I love his heart. Why? Listen, Psalm 37 and Romans 13. Listen, Psalm 37:21 says this. The wicked borrow but does not pay back, but the righteous generous and gives. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So he's like, look, I borrowed this. I got to give it back. I'm responsible. If that axe stays in the river, I got to go buy a new one. It's not a bronze axe. It's an iron axe. I'm just a Bible student. I'm a college student. If you know about college students, they barely survive. He's like, please, master. I love this young man's heart. He studies the word. What else? He's a hard worker. He wants to build the Bible school. He wants to build the kingdom of God. He has integrity. What I borrow, I must give back. And also, he knows who to call. He calls on his master. Listen, the handle, the wooden handle, has no real use without the axe head. So basically what has happened is without the axe head, he has no edge. This young man has lost his edge. Look at what he does. He cries out to his master. What a great principle. Listen, you ever feel like you've lost your edge? You feel like you've lost that double-edged sword that cuts to the soul and the marrow? Look what he does, verse 6. So he cries out to his master and the man of God. So the man of God said, where did it fall? Where falleth it? Where did it fall? I love this. Why? We all lose our edge from time to time. We lose our vigor. We become stagnant. Listen, if you lose your edge, the Bible says, where did you lose it? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. The loveless church, the church of Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, says this, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstand. I know your works, your labor, your patience. He says, hey, you're working, you're laboring in the Lord. And guess what? You even have patience. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't have that. That word, I don't even like saying that word. Look what else he says. That you cannot bear with those who are evil. Wow. So they got works. They even work to the point of labor. They're patient and they cannot stand that which is evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. So they know the word of God. They hold those who teach the word of God, they hold them to a high standard. And they said, no, 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 you're not teaching the word of God. You're wrong. So, wow, this is a pretty awesome church, I would say. And he goes on, verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience. Again, twice they have patience. This is an incredibly patient group that the Lord would mention their patience twice. I don't even have it at half a time. I have puh. That's all I got. You've persevered and have patience and have labored. There's labored. For my name's sake and have not become weary. My gosh, could there be anything wrong with this church? Yes, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Oh. Listen, they're doing all these things for the name of the Lord, but they aren't doing it for the love of the Lord. They've lost their edge. This is key, verse 5. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Isn't that what Elijah just said to the guy who lost his edge? Hey, where'd you fall? That's what it's saying here. Remember from where you have fallen. Remember where you were just before everything started to change, when you started to fade away from the Lord? Remember where you were? He says, repent and do the first works. Go back to what you were doing before you fell. So here's the key. You can write this down. Remember, repent, and repeat. Kind of like lather, rinse, repeat. Kind of the same thing. Remember from where it was when you fell. Repent of what you've been doing and repeat what you were doing before you fell. And you'll get your edge back. Watch. Verse 6. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. Watch this. And he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. What? Weird. Weird. Remember this. As you see miracles in the scripture, you know what I love about the Bible and the miracles that you do see? They're never the same. They're never the same. One time someone lays on top of someone mouth to mouth, face to face, eye to eye. Another time they're not even near. Jesus says, just go. By the time you get back to the house, he's raised. One time, they're dipping in the water. Another time, Jesus is spitting, making mud, and rubbing it on someone's eyes. Why? Why? Why would God do that? I'll tell you why. Because if he did it the same way, we'd be the church of the spitting in your eye. We'd be the church of, you know, dunking in the river. See, he does it different always. Why? Just to say, it's not you. It's not even the process. It's the God and the act of faith that does the healing. So you got to be asking, come on, Pastor Randy, what does the stick have to do with any of this? Is that what you're asking? No? Okay, let's close our Bibles then. No. The word stick here is the exact same word that's used when it says that it is shameful for someone to hang on a tree. It's the same word for stick. It's one of those times when you have, like we have in the English language, a word that can mean two things. It can mean a stick or it can mean a tree. We say something's hot and it can mean something good or it can mean don't touch it, you know. So, you know, it's kind of that kind of thing. So he takes his stick. It's a symbol of the cross. You see, when you lose your edge, when you're drowning in your troubles and it seems like it's impossible to retrieve what you need, where it's going to leave you in debt, where it's going to be a problem, listen, you take the cross of Christ where it was all paid for. That miracle. See, the cross revives us. And this is a symbol of the cross retrieving the axe. The same stick that can retrieve can be the cross, symbol of the cross that revives. We need to be revived. We need to be made alive. We need to be sharpened by the Spirit of God. See, we must understand that every chapter in the Bible all speaks of Jesus. I don't care where you open it. Bring me a chapter and let's read it together and I'll show you Jesus. Oh yeah, let me show. Let's go to the building of the tabernacle in Leviticus. Oh, it speaks of Jesus really loud. Prepare to have your mind blown. Everything speaks of Jesus. I like this. Listen, you got to understand, the Old Testament conceals, the New Testament reveals. That's why it's so important that you read the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'll go, oh, the Old Testament's old, we don't need it. No, we do. Because once Jesus comes, the Old Testament, you go, oh, that's what that meant. Yeah. So he puts his stick. Bloop. And the axe head comes, ooh, like a feather, like it's, all of a sudden it's full of water. I mean, full of air. Wow. But look at this, verse 7. He says, pick it up for yourself. I ain't touching that thing. That thing's magical. That thing is spooky. Right? I mean, so he reached out his hand and he took it. Two things. One, Elijah could have said, here, come up, here you go, here's your, no. He's not being lazy. It's not that he didn't want to bend over or he didn't want to get in the water. Listen, Elijah is allowing this young man to be involved. Remember the widow? He says, hey, go gather pots from your neighbors. Elijah could have said, God, bring pots, and there could have been pots everywhere. He allows. God wants us to be involved. Listen, God doesn't need Elijah, but he uses Elijah. And in while he's using Elijah, Elijah's faithfulness brings miracles. Here, this young man, he allows him to be a part of the process. Not only that, think about this. Come on. It's an axe head. Well, what would seem to be a small item, to God, it's all important to him if it's important to you. If you call upon him with your problems. Listen, God is still a God who can make iron swim. Same God. The problem we have is we cut off our faith. We take that iron head and we drop the axe on our faith and we sever our belief of what God can and cannot do. Or we refuse to drop the axe on our sin. Or we refuse to repent. And so God drops the axe on our blessings. One way or another, there's a dropping of the axe. You and I get to choose which one is it going to be. the one that severs my sin and allows me to walk in faith? Or do I sever my faith and continue in my sin? And by that, we get to choose blessings or curses. Yay! Doesn't it sound like fun? It is fun. It's wonderful to walk with God. It's wonderful to be right in His eyes. Whatever issue you have, give it to God and sever your doubt. Give it to God and sever your sin. And watch Him bless your socks off. But as long as you hang on to your sin or your doubt, you chop the blessings. We get to choose. Which one are you going to choose today? Drop the axe on the right thing. Let's pray. Father, oh God, I love you. We love you. Your word says that even the faith we have is from you. So Lord, right now I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room that you would give to us more faith to walk in obedience and quit making excuses. And Lord, that we would recognize that we cannot hide our sin because you will reveal it. You just give us time to come clean. So Lord, I pray, Father, right now for my brothers and sisters, for everyone in this room, everyone in earshot of this message, that we would decide tonight where the axe is going to be dropped. God, may we make the right decision, because you're so worth it. And things are really crazy outside. You may be coming sooner than we think. And I want anything anchoring me to the ground when the call to go, to rise and go up is made. God, thank you for speaking to us tonight. Thank you for your word, which is alive. Thank you for loving us enough to send your son to pay the price and set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song.